Bibles turn to Proverbs chapter 8. We looked at the balance that is found in the fear of the Lord. There's a great sense in awe of God, a fear of the consequences of sin that yet drives one to trust in the Lord, to come to draw close to Him. The fear of the Lord doesn't repel you from God, but if you have the fear of God in your life, it draws you close to Him. We also looked at there's great benefits to the fear of God in your life. And we also looked at acquiring the fear of God. You know, the fear of God is not just something that we nonchalantly go after, but it's something that we ought to be seeking after with all our hearts. We found the close connection, you know, really with the fear of God and the Word of God. You know, the king, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to write his own copy of the law so that he would what? He would fear God. There have the public reading of Scripture in front of the children of Israel so that they would hear and learn to fear the Lord. And tonight I'd like to look at what is the fear of God. We'd like to define the fear of God. Proverbs chapter 8, a familiar verse, verse number 13, says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." First of all, I'd like us to see that the fear of the Lord is an attitude. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If we have the fear of God in our lives, there is going to be an attitude of hatred that we have towards sin. You know, if you hate sin, somebody isn't going to have to convince you not to do it.
That's right.
Because you fear God. You know, think of that 2 or 3 year old, and you're trying to get them to eat a certain dish, and they don't like it. You know, the peas, or, you know, whatever it is, and they just decide that they don't like it. You know, you have to do a lot of what? Convincing for them to eat it. You know, maybe you have to have a number of sessions before they'll actually eat the peas. All right, but when you don't like something, you stay away from it. You don't get close to it. All right, and the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There is an attitude that is going to characterize our lives, particularly in the area of sin. He says we are going to hate evil. You know, young person, if you're trying to get as close to sin as you can, you know, maybe your parents say, you know, you ought not to be doing that. And you're trying to get as close to it as you can without technically disobeying them. Then obviously you don't have the fear of God in your life. Because if you have the fear of God, you're going to hate sin. You're going to want to stay away from it. All right, and there's some sins here that are listed. It talks about pride and arrogancy. You know, why would pride and arrogancy be listed under sins that you would hate when you have the fear of the Lord? Well, if you remember, the fear of the Lord is very closely associated to the Word of God, to the commands of God, to obeying God, to living under the authority of God. And what is pride? What is arrogancy? It's that I can live life on my own. I can do things my way. I don't need God. And so the fear of the Lord is really, positively, it's humility. Negatively, it's pride. It's an attitude of pride. I can do things my way. You know, I don't need my parents telling me what to do. I don't need the pastor, you know, instructing me on what's right. You know, there's a hatred of sin. There's a hatred towards pride. There is an attitude of submission to the authority of God. You know, the king was in charge, wasn't he? The king was in charge of the land. But what was he to do? He was supposed to copy out the law of God for himself. Why? Because he was in charge? No, because he was acting under the authority of God in the land. And he was to fear God, and he was to bring the land under God's rule. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And two of the sins here that are specifically listed are pride, arrogancy. You know, you think of arrogancy, maybe somebody showing their pomp, somebody, you know, showing off, has an arrogant attitude. It says the forward, the evil way, the pathway of sin, of evil. You think of Psalm number 1, and the blessed man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There's a fear of God that characterizes his life. He stays away from the pathway of sin. You know, it's not attractive to him. You know, places that the world goes to for entertainment. You know, you think of, the places maybe that come to mind. You think of Las Vegas. You know, you think of the place in Louisiana that had the big hurricane, and now it's not coming to mind. But New Orleans. You know, those places should have no attraction to a believer. When you have the fear of God, those places should turn you off. But yet some places, you know, believers are going to. And they're amusing to them. When really, if we have the fear of God, we're going to hate evil. We don't want to go in the way, in the pathway of sin. You know, the places that we go to entertain ourselves, the evil way. It says, the froward mouth do I hate. You know, not only do we not like the frowardness of others, but what about our own mouth? Are we careful in the speech that comes out of it? You know, when you hear somebody swear, when you hear somebody take God's name in vain, is there a reaction inside? Or is it no big deal? You know, what kind of programs do you hear on TV that you're willing, or on the radio or on TV that you're willing to listen to? You know, if you have the fear of God, there's going to be hatred of evil. Those things are not going to be enjoyable. They're going to turn you off, and so you will turn them off.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is an attitude towards evil. Notice Psalm 119. And we're going to go to verse 118 through 120. Here is an attitude that characterized of trembling as he sees the end result of the wicked. It says, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Here there is a trembling. There is a fear. They recognizing the power of God, the power of His Word. So there's a fear, but there's also a confidence in the fear of God. If we go to Proverbs chapter 14, there's a trembling, and we're going to look later on at the fear of the Lord is an awe of God. But we also find there's a confidence. Proverbs 14 verse 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. You know, when you do what is right, there is confidence. You know, the Bible says the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. When you're doing what's right, there's a confidence there. You know, there is a fear, a righteous fear, a trembling. As we think of the greatness of God, you know, when you stand before something that is powerful, you know, somebody was just recently talking about you know, as they were listening, you know, to somebody give the, one of these big canyons, you know, and somebody was messing around, and the tour guide reprimanded them. Why? Because he had seen somebody fall off and die as maybe they were trying to pose for one of these pictures of themselves. Well, the person didn't have a fear, a proper fear. And so there is a trembling as we understand the power of God. And that ought to keep us from sin. It ought to give us a righteous hatred of evil. But yet at the same time, there is a confidence in our life as we put our trust in God. And as you live for God, and as you hate evil, but you love righteousness, you know that there is a place of refuge. There's a confidence that comes in your life as you commit yourself to following God's ways in your life. So we find the fear of the Lord is an attitude. There's a hatred of evil. There's an attitude of submission to God. There's a trembling as we contemplate the greatness of our God. But there's also a confidence as we commit ourselves to doing what is right. We understand the protection of God. So the fear of the Lord is an attitude. But secondly, we see it's not just an attitude, but the fear of the Lord is an action. Proverbs chapter 16. That attitude is going to result in an action. Proverbs 16, verse number 6. It says, "By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged." Then notice the next phrase, "and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." There's an hatred of evil, but there is an action that characterizes your life as you will depart from it. You're going to leave it. You're going to get away from it. If we look at the opposite action, go to Psalm number 36. Notice those that do not have the fear of God, what they do. Psalm number 36. And verse number 1. It says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart." So to the psalmist here, this is what the transgression of the wicked is saying. That there is what? That there is no fear of God before his eyes. All right, what does this say? Well, this shows that, you know, the fear of God is something that you communicate through the actions of your life. And, you know, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here, but Psalm 119 and verse number 63, the psalmist says that he is a companion of all those that fear him, that fear God. So I'll just read it real quickly for you. Verse number 60, it says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts." Well, how could he be a companion of those that fear God? Because it is evident those that fear God. It's displayed in their actions. The next phrase talks about those that keep God's commandments. Somebody that fears God is somebody that obeys God. And it's something that comes out in the actions of our lives, and you ought to be able to choose your friends based upon those that fear God, based upon those that are living an obedient life before God. You know, young person, if you have the fear of God in your life, your parents aren't going to have to really worry about who you're hanging around with, because you're going to be hanging around those that obey God. Right. You know, it may mean you don't have a lot of friends. You know, it may mean that people, you know, that are older than you may have to be your friends. Sure. People that are serious about living for God. But the fear of God is displayed in our actions, in what we do. Notice the transgression. They're declaring with their actions that there is no fear of God before his eyes. "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes." You know, he builds up himself. through what he says. Maybe even speaks to himself. Until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Notice even the words of his mouth. It says, the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Remember, one of the things that the Bible said the fear of the Lord is to hate the froward mouth. And here the action of that, him that has no fear of God is that the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. So if you don't have the fear of God, you're going to have the wrong kind of mouth. It says in verse number 4, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. Notice, he abhorreth not evil. So we have the person that fears God, what do? They hate evil. The person that does not have the fear of God, what do? They abhor not evil. They don't hate evil. You know, which camp are you in? Sometimes we like to think we're kind of in the middle. We don't really hate sin, but we don't really love sin. You know, but here's the person that hates sin. Here's the person that doesn't hate sin. You know, which category do you fall in this evening? It's going to be shown through your actions. It's going to be shown through your actions. And might we be reminded that the end result of sin, Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to what? To depart from the snares of death. You know, what is Satan doing? He is seeking to trap you, to snare you, and bring destruction into your life. You think of the false voices. You know, you think of the strange woman in Proverbs. Her end is the what? The way of hell. The fear of the Lord is an action. There are specific actions that are going to take place. A person that has the fear of the Lord, they're going to love righteousness. They're going to hate evil. And that hatred of evil is going to cause them to make choices of who their friends are. They're going to choose people that obey God's word, that love God's word. The fear of the Lord is action, is a discernible action in our lives. In Psalm number 34, it talks about the fear of the Lord. Psalm 34, it says, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All right, and here's some discernible actions. He says, verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile, from speaking deceitfulness. You know, we need to be people of truth. You know, don't exaggerate the story to gain what you're trying to get. It says, depart from evil and do good. It says, seek peace and pursue it. All right, so there's a positive. Seek peace and pursue it. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. So the fear of the Lord is in action. Thirdly, I like to see that the fear of the Lord is an approach to life. When we have the fear of God, we are going to approach life in a certain fashion. Let's look at, we're in Psalm number 34. Maybe we can just think about this a little bit from this Psalm. Verse number 15, I just read it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You know, when you have the fear of God, you're going to approach life from a certain perspective. And that is, you know, do I want God to answer my prayers? If you do, you're going to keep away from certain things in life. Because you understand that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open unto their cry. You may think, you know, when I get in a troubling situation, when my children, if God forbid that something terrible would happen, I need to get a hold of God in prayer. That God's ears would be open unto my cry. And so it's an approach that we take to life. It says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So we approach life a certain way with carefulness when we have the fear of God. Notice, let's go over to Psalm number 10. We see the opposite approach to life. Now, when you have the fear of God, you understand God's judgment upon sin. And it's going to cause you to approach life differently than those that are out in the world. Psalm number 10. It's verse number 4. It says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." You know, the wicked, they don't think about God. They have a completely different approach to life. God is not factored into the decisions that they make. Let's skip down to verse number 13. It says, "Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God?" Why does the wicked despise God? "He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it." Why does the wicked act the way he does? He doesn't have the fear of God. He doesn't recognize that there is an accountability that each one of us is going to give before God. God is going to judge sin. You know, you think of Psalm number 73. There's Asaph. He's looking at the wicked. And he's beginning to wonder, boy, it looks like they're prospering. It looks like they're doing okay in life. And he started to get envious at the wicked. But then he what? He went to the sanctuary of God. His perspective was changed. And he understood the end of the wicked, that in a moment, God can bring them down. When we have the fear of God, it changes our approach to life. You know, some of those things aren't going to confuse us any longer because we have a different approach. We have a different perspective on life. You know, do you see God at work? Do you understand the greatness of God? And really, number four, I'd like to see the fear of the Lord is an awe of God. Let's go to Psalm number 89. Psalm number 89, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints." Think of that. As we gather together, our congregation ought to be characterized by having a great fear of God. And it says, and to be what? To be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now, do we really believe that the gathering of the church, there is a special presence of the Holy Spirit? You know, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3, or in Corinthians, is it 1 or 2 Corinthians 3, that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. You know, do we gather to worship God? Is there a reverential attitude? Do we have that awe of the greatness of God? Over in Psalm number 96, just a few pages over, a couple pages over in your Bible. Notice what it says in verse number 9. It says, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." There ought to be an awe of God. It ought to characterize our worship of God. There ought to be a great reverence for God as we understand the greatness of the God that we are worshiping. And obviously today we have all these, you know, mega churches with their wild music. And what is it all about? Well, it's all about satisfying man. Well, that's not worshiping God. Because worshiping God is truly showing the worth, the greatness of the one that we are coming before. Amen. And that music doesn't reflect on God. It reflects on the sinful desires of the men that are gathering together.
That's right.
Rather than on the righteousness of the God of heaven.
That's right.
And so tonight, do we have that awe of God? When we come to church, do we have an awe of God? When we sing that, you sing the hymn, "I sing the mighty power of God." I know how easy it is just to kind of sing words. But the Bible says, you know, the fear of the Lord is an awe of God. It ought to affect our worship of God. You know, it says in Psalm 97, it says, "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord." At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. You know, that's who we're worshiping when we come to worship God. Do you have that awe of God in your life? You know, we were at the teen camp out, and on Thursday night, you know, it was lightning, and I think there was a couple of people, and I know I was one of them, that, you know, there was one lightning bolt, and man, I jumped in my sleeping bag. And, you know, some of those things are amazing. And, you know, and that's only just a small token, so to speak, of the power of God. And yet so many times people think, oh, they can live their life independent. They can do their thing. You know, hey, it's my life. But yet, you know, look at, you know, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. We are nothing in sight of the awesome God of heaven. You know, and how foolish we are to live our life our way. But yet, as we think of the great fear of God, there's the balance that blessed are those that put their what? Their trust in him. He is a refuge. He is a place of strong confidence for those that will choose to follow his ways. We can look at the world around us. People can get confused. It is a confusing day. But there are the truths of God's word. May we never lose sight of the greatness of our God. May we have that fear of him. May it characterize even the worship of our God as we gather together. So the fear of the Lord is an attitude. It's an action. It's an approach to life. You know, as you get up in the morning, as you go to your job, if you have the fear of God, you're going to approach your job a certain way. You know, when you're tempted to cheat on something because it looks like it's going to get you ahead, you're not going to, because you have the fear of God. It's an approach to life. And the fear of the Lord is an awe of God that's going to characterize the way that we worship God. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are a needy people. And Lord, so many times instead of fearing you, we fear man. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to fear you. Lord, to live in submission to you. Lord, it's so easy to fear what man is going to think of us instead of to fear what you will think of us. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to have that righteous fear of you that would characterize our lives. And Lord, that tonight that each one that is here would see the blessing that accompanies a life that chooses to place themselves in submission to your word. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.